scripture appointed for this day is recorded in 1 Kings, the 17th chapter, and I'll begin at the 8th verse. Then the word of the Lord came to him, that is Elijah, "Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow there to feed you." So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a woman was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, "Bring me a little water in a vessel that I may drink." And as she was going to bring it, he called to her and said, "Bring me a morsel of bread in your hand." And she said, "As the Lord your God lives, I have nothing baked, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. And now I'm gathering a couple of sticks that I might go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die." And Elijah said to her, "Do not fear. Go and do as you have said. But first, make me a little cake of it and bring it to me. And afterward, make something for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, the jar of flour shall not be spent, and the jug of oil shall not be empty until the day that the Lord sends rain upon the earth." And she went and did as Elijah said. And she and he and her household ate for many days. The jar of flour was not spent, neither did the jug of oil become empty, according to the word of the Lord that he spoke by Elijah. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
God sends us gifts to break up the sadness of reflecting upon 9/11. I changed that day. The nation changed that day, and the world changed. The war that followed, memories of the wounded, the dead, and those that served their country will be forever burnt into my mind. I'm not comfortable talking about those experiences, but at the same time, we never forget those who died on that fateful day. There is hallowed ground in New York, Pennsylvania, and Washington, D.C. We never forget those fire and rescue heroes who died to save so many. We never forget those soldiers, sailors, airmen, Marines, and Coast Guardsmen who gave up their lives in the ending and unending war and conflict. Many Americans alive do not remember what the world was like prior to September 11, 2001. That was 17 years ago. The world, as we look at the world, has forever changed. But we also know God in Christ Jesus provides stability and hope and salvation. By way of 1 Kings 17, we're given a wonderful gift this morning. We hear of an instrument of God, Elijah. I call him the great prophet, a positive, disruptive force in human history, pointing to the future Christ. Look and see God work his magnificent plan of salvation, a design worked in the middle of political upheaval and catastrophic disaster. It touches all of us this morning, 1 Kings chapter 17. This event occurred centuries ago and intended to soothe the soul. This is a recording intended to remind even now that you rest in the arms cradled by a loving embrace of God. In chapter 17 of 1 Kings, Elijah bursts onto the scene. The great prophet, like the forceful personality of a bull in a china shop, disrupts the status quo of rulers. He's called to confront and call out a king. This king's Ahab, who replaced Omri. Ahab is terrible. He's disobedient to the ordinances of God. Among the evil he had done was to place in God's house artifacts, foreign false god artifacts, to be worshipped in the temple. He also married Jezebel's daughter for the sole purpose of creating an alliance with another ruler, forbidden by God to do this. God tells Elijah to confront the king. He does so. And afterwards, as if Elijah doesn't know what to do, God tells Elijah to leave here, go east, as if run away. After spending time alone at a brook being fed by God via ravens, God orders Elijah to go to Zarephath. At this point, now the magnificent rending of Elijah, the story of Elijah, the widow, and her son, is brought to us. Imagine that. Zarephath and Sidon, placed in the middle of your life this morning in St. Louis, Missouri, confronted by a prophet on the run, a son we know little about, and a widow whose name is known only to God. We hear of hopelessness in the midst of a horrible death famine. We hear of the widow's strategy, the best plan someone could come up with under these circumstances. So with all the information the widow has, she resolves to eat one last time with her son and die by way of horrible, horrible starvation. But there is more to this event. This isn't a telling of an event concerning the virtue of a long-suffering widow. The word widow is mentioned 102 times in Scripture. Mostly it's on a list of who we are required to show acts of kindness, lest we're punished by the wrath of God. The Lord knows about widows. He loves widows. This is not an event where God tells you, you have to do something benevolent and risky, and then you'll get favor with me. So do what the widow did. Step out, give the last bit of food. If you do, then you will receive wealth and health, prosperity, and be filled. There's no room for prosperity gospel in this text. There are two points to make from the actions and activities of Elijah and Zarephath and Sidon. The first is the mercy of God, and the second is a promise of salvation for all. The first, this is an incredible act of compassion extended by God through the prophet. The woman was no different than any other widow at that time. I mean, we don't hear of any particular reason she was set apart. We have no indication that anyone else in Zarephath was better off or worse off than her, regardless of her status as widow. The love of God is nonetheless illustrated by this event. God extends grace and love to her by sparing her and her son during the time of the calamity on a devastating, catastrophic scale. We hear that the jar is bottomless of both flour, and the jar is bottomless without end of oil. She lives, the son lives, Elijah lives. But there is more to this event. This is about salvation, your salvation, my salvation, the salvation of all humanity. This is about the Lord God, the King of the universe, who comes to save all humanity from their sin. It's an event retold. Yes, this story is retold hundreds of years later. In Luke chapter 4, we come to the point in the gospel where Jesus begins his public ministry. You remember how the event is laid out. The Lord completed the reading of the Isaiah scroll, which read, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And then we know how this plays out. He sits down. All eyes of the temple, the synagogue, the congregation are on him. Then Jesus tells the congregation, the synagogue, and the people that the prophecy has been fulfilled in your hearing. And the crowd becomes irate, to say the least. But then this is what Jesus says. Quote, "Doubtless you will quote me this proverb, physician, heal thyself. What we have heard you did at Capernaum, do here in your hometown as well." And then Jesus goes on to say, "Truly I say to you, no prophet is acceptable in his own town. But in truth I tell you, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heavens were shut up for 3 years and 6 months, and a great famine came over all the land, and Elijah was sent to none of them, but only to Zarephath, to the land of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow. And there were many lepers in Israel in the time of the prophet Elisha, and none of them was cleansed, but only Naaman, the Syrian." So Jesus tells us what this widow of Zarephath and Elijah are all about. Universal salvation by grace through faith. We read in Romans chapter 1:16, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, as Paul rightly says, for us to declare in our hearts. The Lord points to two clarion examples. Jesus points to Naaman, sick and festering with leprosy. He's cleansed by washing as ordered by Elisha. Naaman is a Gentile. The widow and her son, they are not from the confines of within the borders of Israel or Judah. They too are Gentiles. Salvation by grace alone is for all people. The gospel is powerful. It turns the hardened heart. It transforms the lonely. It gives comfort to those that feel lost. It is extended to you freely. The gospel. Well, the gospel, this is what Jesus said: to proclaim good news to the poor, to recover sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. This is typified by Elijah of Zarephath in Sidon. It is that same gospel preached by Christ. It is a gospel personified by Christ on the cross. This is a gift brought to us this morning. Despite this day of sobering reflection, the gospel is an unstoppable force. It is not held captive by boundaries or culture. Its purpose is to set us free. We are children of the Heavenly Father, so neither life nor death shall ever from the bonds his children sever. His is a loving purpose only to preserve us pure and holy. Elijah points to the prophecy of Jesus, the good news of Christ Jesus, comfort and the peace of God won only on the cross. We ask this in his holy and precious name, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.